This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison, and Noel Lim. It's 7:36 a.m, Monday the 5th of April, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. Noel, who is coming on the grill this morning?
Well, Wong Xiaoning will be speaking with Louis George Lessenery. He's the CEO of Zulich Pharma Malaysia and Brunei. As we know, they are the largest vaccine distributor in Malaysia and Asia, with Malaysia ramping up the vaccine rollout. What role does Zulich play, and are private-public partnerships the way to go forward in achieving herd immunity as soon as possible? And I suppose Xiaoning and Louis George shall also be discussing the company's plans.
So be sure to catch that conversation later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But in the meantime, it goes without saying that the COVID-19 pandemic disrupted labour markets globally over this past year. The short-term consequences were sudden and often severe, with many people having to make immediate adjustments or even losing their jobs due to the huge economic impact that the pandemic dealt.
Yeah, work from home became the new buzzword as offices were closed and movements restricted. But as the wider economy recovers around the world sets in, how has the pandemic changed the talent and job trends in the region?
Well, for more on this morning we have with us Paul Cooper, Managing Director of Michael Page Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam. Michael Page is a recruitment agency, and they recently released a report looking at the talent trends across the region. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us today. How has COVID-19 affected the hiring landscape in APAC?
The COVID-19 pandemic dealt a major blow to the global economy across virtually all sectors and markets in 2020. The impact varied across countries in APAC, but all were affected in some way. Recruitment activity for Page Group in terms of vacancies reduced by 8% to 35%, depending on the location.
What were some of the challenges for employees and employers?
Well, firstly, across the region, there's been varying levels of restriction and impact, but the demand for talented and experienced candidates remains strong. There is, of course, an air of caution, but that does not mean companies are not hiring. Our findings indicate that in APAC, 42% of companies plan to increase headcounts in the year ahead. Recruitment-wise, interviews and onboarding processes had to migrate onto digital platforms. Many organizations were quick to embrace virtual interviews, a fairly seamless process for most. However, the bigger challenge for many was adapting to the digital onboarding of talent.
And what were some of your observations in terms of industries that grew and shrank in the region?
Understandably, there's ongoing demand in the technology space. This was strong pre-COVID-19, and it's not really reduced since. Relevant for all countries, from India to Japan, to China, and also Southeast Asia and Australia. We're seeing strong demand across a broad range of job types: software developers, network transformation, cybersecurity, data science, fintech, and a whole host of infrastructure roles, just to name a few. Healthcare, life sciences, another sector, certainly a hot sector before COVID-19, but it just got hotter. Includes commercial roles in product management, sales and marketing, and particularly more technical roles across medical and pharmaceutical. These can be research, development in nature, and a whole range of medical specialists and practitioners. On the negative side, it's probably no surprise that hospitality, leisure and traditional retail all had very challenging years. There's also been considerable upheaval in many parts of the manufacturing industry, in particular where companies have complex supply chains and they're reliant on parts and components from multiple global locations.
So then what are the key trends you see emerging from this COVID-19 era that might persist even as countries begin to open up and we achieve herd immunity?
Well, I think one of the big trends that we've seen through last year, and it's not a new dynamic, but it's certainly something we saw before COVID, has been that contracting and gig work has been widely adopted as a popular hiring solution by companies. It's a viable career option for professionals of all levels of experience across the APAC region. According to a recent report released by PwC, 46% of HR professionals expect at least 20% of their workforce to be made up of contractors or temporary workers by next year. There's many advantages to hiring contract or interim or temporary workers as well. Contracting can be the solution to headcount limits or project hiring, and can save cost and improve flexibility. Employers only pay for what they get. So that's according to the hours, the days, the contract professionals work. based on this, we can see more and more companies, over 22% of companies across APAC, looking to hire short-term contractors to fill skills gaps in their organizations.
What about age trends? Was it harder for fresh graduates to get jobs or maybe even older people?
Well, our survey didn't focus specifically on age trends. However, the growing gig economy is certainly creating opportunity for people at different stages in their career. Contracting or gig work provides flexibility and a variety of experience in a short time. Individuals can be well paid while building new and transferable skills. I think given the increasing demand for software developers and data analysts, there are lots of opportunities for individuals to upskill or reskill themselves to increase their employment options. One of the real positives I see from the last year has been the huge increase in the availability of online courses and accreditations, which are available to people at relatively low or even zero cost.
So what was the focus for companies across the region? Was it to retain employees and upskill them to adapt to the environment? Or was streamlining costs more important and therefore sizing down in terms of their workforces?
Several employers we work with or surveyed reported a much more conservative approach to their hiring strategy, choosing instead to freeze or even reduce their headcount in order to reduce costs. However, despite the challenges of the last year, it's important to note that high potential, talented professionals remain in demand. And as such, companies need to prioritize staff retention of key individuals. Talent retention is a key element of a company's long-term success and a strong indicator of overall culture, values, and effectiveness in bringing employees into an organization. Enacting strong talent retention strategies can also help ensure that time and resources invested in training in new employees is well rewarded. To improve talent retention, organizations must think beyond monetary benefits to provide an overall well-rounded experience for their employees.
So did any countries within the region stand out in terms of how well they adjusted? And do you expect work from home to be the norm moving forward?
Well, responding quickly and adapting has really been essential right across the region. And this was overall pretty positive throughout APAC. Companies across lots of sectors were able to react and continue to function. However, we definitely saw some challenges when companies were either reliant on traditional IT networks or their employees lived in locations with poor internet coverage. We do expect there's going to be lasting change, but perhaps not the complete shift to remote working that some have forecast. It will differ across industries and job type, with a blended approach expected that sees employees with a greater level of choice. Each individual is different. There's no uniform approach that will suit all, but almost 90% of employees that we surveyed chose a blended approach as their most desired. There's also been a need to reevaluate how performance is measured with people working from home, with over 50% of employers introducing different metrics and approaches to this. Assessing overall outcomes and judging positive behavior seem to take priority over the typical KPIs that existed in a pre-COVID world. It'll be interesting to see how this develops and whether this is a lasting change too.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Paul. That was Paul Cooper, Managing Director of Michael Page Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam, with some insights into job trends in the region. We're also running a poll on the subject on the BFM Twitter account. Roshan, how is it looking?
Well, we asked you, how has your company facilitated work from home for you? And with 25% of the vote, you've said more flexible hours. 24% have said provide tech solutions. 32%, unfortunately, have said no help at all. And 19% said, I don't work from home. So I guess giving us a gauge for what's going on the ground. And no help at all leading the charge right now.
Do continue to let us know what you think, though. Comment as well if you have more to add on the poll. That's on the Twitter account, at BFM Radio. But up next, we're going to be talking about Sarawak's relationship with Perikatan Nasional with political commentator Professor James Chin of the University of Tasmania. So be sure to stay tuned for that after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.